Tonight then, for our time remaining to us, we would like to look at Psalm number 92. I'm not going to isolate one particular text, but we would certainly be looking at that section, primarily 12 to 15, these verses we want to focus on. And the title I want to give to our meditation tonight is The Aged Believer. The Aged Believer. The psalm here is a title, a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. We do believe that it was written by David. We have taken that kind of line when we come to Psalms. And if the author has not made himself known, we are inclined to believe that the author will be David. The Jewish doctors maintain that this psalm was written by Adam before the first Sabbath day, but we're not inclined to go along with them. For instance, they didn't have musical instruments. These things were invented long after Adam. And of course, there's a reference here to enemies and wicked people. Well, of course, there was no wicked people at the first Sabbath. But that's what the Jews maintain. It was written by Adam. But we're inclined to believe it was written by David. But it's primarily written for the Sabbath day. And it begins, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." And of course, the Sabbath day is primarily a day when we would worship God, when we would serve God, when we would seek to give him the honor and the glory that's due to his great name. And this psalm was written obviously in the time to commemorate God's works, primarily of creation, and we might also say providence. And the psalmist here in verse 5, "O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." Verse 4, "For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands." And the psalmist had much to be thankful and grateful for, and he had many topics, if you like, as he looked at creation and as he looked at providence. There was plenty of material that he might be able to sing praises unto the Lord his God. But, verse 6, "A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this." And of course, this is exactly the same position that we find ourselves in today. God's creation is still the same, and although it's marred and scarred and not what it should be, yet it does cause us to marvel. As someone would say, if you look at creation with the most powerful telescope, you see order and beauty and design. And if you will look at a small part of creation, even with the most powerful microscope, you will see order and beauty and design and things that will amaze you. Such is the works of our great God. And of course, providence itself, we are not of those who believe that God simply created the world and the universe and left it to its own devices or schemes. We do not believe that for one moment. We believe that God is active in his creation. And through the things that we see unfolding in the world, God is working out his plan and his purpose, and ultimately bringing all things to a consummation. Well, what I'm trying to say is, if the psalmist in Old Testament times, without the cross, although he would know something about the glorious salvation that was coming, yet we now living in gospel days, if they could praise God for creation and if they could praise God for providence, We have another string to our bow. We can praise God for the wonderful work of redemption. And this is something that should fill our Lord's days, our Sabbath days. It's this wonderful story, not a Jackanory story, but a real life story, a story that involves every single one of us, a story that is or has unfolded and is unfolding as God brings about the wonderful redemption of his people, as he calls them out of the world, and as they come to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're transformed. And ultimately, God, in this wonderful story of redemption, is creating a new humanity, not under Adam, but under his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, this psalm here would remind us that we should be full of praise and adoration and worship to our great God. Not casting aside the works of creation, not casting aside the glorious works of redemption, but remembering them, but above all, providence, but above all, remembering the glorious work of redemption, climaxing in the cross of Christ, but also unfolding until that time when he shall come again in the clouds. And as we find, the brutish man knoweth not. He never considers this. Somehow he thinks that the world was just came about out of nothing. Oh, can you comprehend this? Can you believe this? That some people actually believe that this vast and glorious and complex universe that has been sustained and upheld by God day by day, and who gives life to all, suddenly came about by some great bang, great big bang, many, many billions of years ago. It is incredible. But that's what happens. That is the stupidity of unbelief. And we have that all around us today. Well, as I said, I particularly want to focus upon these last few verses, primarily from verses 12 to 15 in this psalm. And the title I want to give to our meditation tonight is The Aged Believer, because these verses focus upon the fruitfulness and the fact that the aged believer flourishes, and that his faith indeed is strong, and he is a faithful believer even in old age, even when his natural strength is declining and he's not able to do what he once was able to do. Yet although his natural strength, the outward man, may well be failing, the inward man has been renewed day by day. I don't know if you can remember when you first trusted in Christ. I don't know if you know when or around about when your life in Christ began. But it's quite normal for a newborn babe in Christ to have a kind of novelty about their life. Everything is new. And for a time and for a period, they might experience some kind of a novelty attachment to the Christian faith and the Christian walk. But that soon goes. That soon goes. And then, of course, the Christian has the day-by-day walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it, on occasions, it may well not be easy for them. And of course, any believer who is truly a believer will acknowledge that their spiritual life will go up and it will go down. It will wax and it will wane. It's not always upward. There'll be times of declension. There may well be times of backsliding. There'll be times of lukewarmness, and there'll be times of indifference. And they will be stirred up, and they will be ones who will seek to renew their first love And what I'm basically trying to say is the life of a believer is not plain sailing. It doesn't always go up. There are ups and downs. But ultimately we know, of course, the true heart of believer will ultimately always reside and remain in Christ. But this psalm is telling us here, friends, that the aged believer will, in some real sense, prosper and flourish. I don't know how you think about old age and what it'd be like to be a believer in old age. Some are already in old age. Some are not too far away from it. Some maybe have a year or two left. But regardless of our position, we are all heading towards old age. And maybe it does give us some cause for concern. How will we handle it when our natural strength will not be what it once was? That's why we read that short passage in John's Gospel there, where Peter was reminded that he would depend on others in order to carry on his work and life at the end. He wouldn't be in charge of the way he walked about. He would be depending on others to take him here, there, and everywhere. But nevertheless, he was reminded that even in old age, when physically he would be declining, he would still be able to glorify God. And this is what the psalm is teaching us, that although old age will come, and it will bring possibly physical limitations and maybe mental limitations, yet nevertheless, the believer can, in some sense, truly glorify his Redeemer and magnify his God even in these times. So I want to bring four brief things from this psalm for you tonight. The first thing I want us to notice about the believer is that he will remain fresh even in old age. He will remain fresh. We get this from verse 10. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And he's telling us here that those who remain or who live for Christ shall remain fresh. They will remain there and hold on to their vitality, even although the outward man may well decline. The word horn here, for instance, is a symbol of strength and power. And when it says unicorn, that's simply a powerful animal, like a wild bull. So he's saying, my power and strength shalt thou exalt like the horn of a wild bull or animal. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. There shall be freshness about the life of the aged Christian. And this is something that all Christians seek to have and to seek to maintain as they go through their Christian walk and pilgrimage. It's so easy to get in a rut. It's so easy just to go along on a predetermined path. It's so easy to absorb the language that you hear others praying, that you hear others speaking about spiritual things. It's so easy just to absorb what they say. But the true-hearted, genuine Christian, the one who is walking closely with the Lord Jesus Christ, there shall be freshness about him and about his conduct and about his manner. And of course, I'm not speaking, of course, about physical matters, about physical activities, because the aged person may well decline in that. We're talking about spiritual realities. There shall be a freshness about the true-hearted, genuine, aged believer. I wonder then, friends, Do we know this? And if we don't know it, and if we're true and honest, we put our hands up and we don't know it as much as we should do, what is wrong? How can we address this? Well, we will go back to something what we talked about last week. We need to abide more in Christ. We need to be with Him. We need to bear fruit as we abide in Him. He must be near. He must be close unto us. We must recognize that our life is hid in Christ. And we can only bear fruit the more that we are with Him. And this freshness that He's talking about, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, this can only come with intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are primarily talking about prayer and about the reading of the Word. And even for the elderly, this may become difficult for them to read the Word of God. It may not be possible for them to do it. But surely they would know something about meditation, something about calling upon God in prayer to maintain their freshness. If we are ones then, and we don't know this, then let us aspire to know it. Let us then call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might know this freshness. Another thing here that the psalmist mentions is the fact that he will flourish. And we find this from verses 12 to 13. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And verse 14 goes on also. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Not only freshness, not only vitality, but the fact that they will flourish. Flourish even in old age. Most people think of flourishing as youth, when the time when a man or a woman's at their peak. But friends, we are told here that the spiritual man, even in old age, he or she shall flourish. And to highlight this flourishing, the believer is likened to two trees. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. What do we know about the palm tree? Well, what we know about the palm tree is a good description of a righteous person. The palm tree grows in very difficult circumstances. It grows in the dearth and the drought of the desert. That's where it grows. That's its natural habitat. It grows where no other tree can grow, because it puts its roots down deep, deep. It's able to access secret sources of nourishment. That's what the palm tree does. And it grows erect. It doesn't have lots and lots of branches. It has a bow, certainly, set wide bows on it. But primarily it grows straight up, has the wide bows there. And that is a description of the righteous individual, one who grows in times of difficulty, times of dearth, and times when there's not much nourishment around. It is known, as I said, because it grows erect, not having lots of branches coming off it, and the fruit, dates from the fig tree, are very pleasant. But one thing that marks out the palm tree above all things is the fact that it is evergreen. Even in the winter, it is evergreen. And that surely is a wonderful description of the aged believer. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He goes on. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And the cedar is quite like it too also. Strong and erect, grown in Lebanon. And this is telling us something about the aged Christian. He will not decline. Nature will decline, but grace will not decline. The Christian, he will flourish in times that are difficult, in circumstances that are difficult, when he has afflictions, when he has difficulties, when he has trials, when he has temptations, yet he will still flourish, no matter how difficult the circumstances are. He shall be like the palm tree, and he shall be like the cedar tree. We are told here in verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. No one would plant a tree in a house. No one would possibly do that. God does. God puts his people into his church. God does it. And this is one thing that's unique about it. It's the work of God. And he looks after, he plants his people, and he looks after them in order that ultimately they would bear fruit, even in the most unlikeliest times and in the unlikeliest situations. They will bear fruit. Even when nature's declining, even when their faculties are declining, they will bear fruit, and they will continue to be strong for the Lord Jesus Christ, because they are put there by God, and they will ultimately be nourished by God. So, thirdly, we can say from these verses that they are fruitful. Verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. When it says they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, this would imply that they have been bearing fruit all their lives, all their Christian lives. It's not just suddenly when they come to the end do they start to bear fruit. No, they have been bearing fruit all throughout their Christian life and experience. The fruit of the Spirit has been evident. It has been clear. It has been seen in their lives. They have proved themselves to be true-hearted, genuine Christians. And even at the end, when nature is declining, they are still bearing fruit. Now, this is against nature. Trees, normally, they will have their seasons. They will bear fruit. But when they're coming to the end of their time, they will maybe have leaves, but they will not have fruit. Not so for the Christian. And of course, here, there is a great contrast between the righteous and the wicked. Verse 7, for instance, when the wicked spring up as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. What happens with the grass? It grows up quite quickly. It flourishes, but before you know where you are, it is cut down. The grass is only grown in order that once it is grown, once it flourishes, the scythe goes in and it's cut, and it's to be put to some use other than simply carrying on growing. There's a difference. There's the contrast. The wicked grow and are cut down suddenly, but the righteous continue to grow, continue to bear fruit, even at a time of life when, ordinarily, they would not. And this is something, friends, that should be a mark and a characteristic of the life of the Christian. He should continue to bear fruit. And as the end gets nearer, we should be more fruitful. Fruit should be evident. It was said, for instance, of the palm tree, that the more it's pressed, the more it's harassed, the more fruit it bears. And you will find that to be true of the Christian. The more he is tempted, the more he is afflicted, the more he's pruned, the more as the master gardener attends to the plant in his house, the more that Christian will bear fruit because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They will flourish and they will bear fruit even under all the burdens that may come across them. The more they're afflicted, the more they will multiply. Can we identify with this? Can we see this in our own lives? Maybe we've had some difficulties and trials. Maybe we've had things that have been hard for flesh and blood to bear. But the whole purpose of all of these things that God may bring upon us is in order that we might bear fruit. Where is the fruit? Is it clear? Is it evident? Because even in declining years, when our natural strength will go from us and we will become frail and fragile and dependent upon others, yet fruit, that wonderful Christian disposition, should be seen in each and every one of us. Well, the fourth thing and final thing we want to draw from these verses here is that even in old age, they will be faithful. They will be faithful. Verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. This will mark out the believer, the aged believer who's been walking with the Lord all the days of his conversion. He will continue to be faithful. He will continue to acknowledge the Lord his God. He will continue to acknowledge that he depends upon the Lord. He is my rock. It's not he was my rock. He's not looking back to some time before. It's an ever ongoing reality. He is my rock and he will be my rock. He continues to be my rock because he will continue to exercise faith in the greatness of his God. And no wonder then he is one who will sing his praises. No wonder he's one who will delight in the Lord's day. And no wonder he's one who will be able to magnify God for the works of creation, for the works of providence, and above all, for the glorious works of redemption. Because he knows it. He has it. He's part of it. He is his rock. And he will continue to be his rock. Well, friends, we're all at various stages. None of us are the same. But by the grace of God, we, all of us, may know this old age experience. Will we be fresh? Will we continue to flourish? Will we be fruitful? And will we maintain our faith and be faithful to the great God of heaven? This is what the psalmist was. This is what we should aim for and look for. And this can only be ours the more that we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the more that we call upon him, and the more that we follow him, and the more that we are filled with his glorious Spirit. That's the aged believer, fruitful, flourishing, full of faith, and fresh, even in old age. Well, amen. And may God bless his word to us. Let us pray.